I only ever had to watch that at Michelle's house. Wait. So do you want to assign Jen and me characters?
No.
So you have to now that we're talking about Mooney.
No. Well, because it... No.
Which ones are the gay ones?
That would be Uranus and Neptune.
Well, I'm obviously Uranus and Jen is Neptune.
I mean, I would say that's accurate.
Really?
I think the wrestlers on WWE, they have like the storyline that goes with it. And if it was more along that line of like, you know, oh, these are, you know, characters that are playing a part essentially. And they're, you got your heels and you got your good guys, that sort of stuff. I might be more interested in it. But even WWE isn't really something that interests me. So
I'm super fine with that. But he greets his, what we'll find out is his brother, who guides him to the back room. And then they focus in on a luchador who is eating a taco while with his mask on.
Before we go through that, his brother is Marco. He's wearing a red shirt and his shirt specifically says Mexican. So it's the word Mex, the Spanish word for yes, see, and then can, which I wrote in my notes. Mexican is like, yes, we can.
But like Sean Fax was like Mexican.
Right. It was his,
it's a luchador fancy name.
It was the name of his sidekick on the television show. And so that's where it comes from.
Yeah. It's nice. It's a play on words, but stupid English speakers will not pick up on it.
Right.
Including me. But that's fine. Because Mexican, who I will now refer to instead of brother as Mexican for the rest of my notes, he brings him back and there's a guy eating a taco through his luchador mask. And I gotta say, applauders, you know, I can't handle, like, why are you shoving food through such a tiny hole? Bring your mask up. It's not that hard. Just bring it up, shove it in your face, bring the mask down. We've all learned it. Post-pandemic,
it feels like an uncomfortable shot too, like looking at this guy just eating a taco?
It's so slow. I actually thought it was, what's his face,
Charlie Clark?
I thought it was Charlie.
Okay.
This whole time I was like, ew, Charlie, and then I was like, oh no, wait, like 2 minutes later I was like, oh no, it's not Charlie. Okay, but then okay, raise your hands, I know you can't see it, applauders, but raise your hands if you think there was a butt double. We all think it's his butt, and yeah, we're gonna ask him on the bonus episode.
Oh my God. I mean, we don't.
We're gonna ask him. Naomi, don't tell me no.
Naomi, are you gonna be the one who asks him?
I'm gonna be the. I'll be like, hey, Charlie, was there a butt double, or is that your own pasty one? Yeah, it was you, wasn't it?
So we're looking. We're inside this area where Charlie is getting ready. And this is where a moment where we don't have subtitles. And Marco is talking with three other guys. Two of them are in tuxedos or like really nice suits. And they have Libre masks on, Lucha Libre masks. And then there's another guy who just has like, he's in like the more of the authentic costume where it's like the skin tight latex and he's got like a mask on his eyes. And all we hear is them speaking in Spanish. And I think like the only word that I could make out was abuela. Mm-hmm. Then you, Naomi, had mentioned that, oh, his abuela has known him since he was a kid.
Mm-hmm. He only calls her Nana.
Right. And so that's when Marco's like, come on out, Charlie. And that's when Charlie comes out and his butt's showing. Mm-hmm. And one of the guy who's in the other like latex suit, like lifts up his mask a little bit to get a glimpse while everybody else is like, ah.
He's our only gay coded character.
Yep.
And he ends up slapping his ass when he comes out and he's like, not gringo, green ghost. Yeah. And he says it in Spanish. It's pretty obvious to the rest of us.
Right. they're talking in Spanish. And then when Charlie comes out and he's like fixing his suit, he starts speaking in Spanish and he's speaking it pretty fluently.
Yeah. And his whole outfit squeaks the entire time. That's the best part of this. And then as he like explains that all the things that he explains, he walks past him to go into the arena. And then guy in the winged flame mask, I would say, who's the gay Kogata guy, slaps him on the ass and he turns around like he's going to fight him. He turns around like he's going to fight him, which seems a little homophobic, but also like, yeah, I don't want to be assaulted.
And Marco stops him from doing that.
Yeah. And then they go out into the arena. And the impression is that Green Ghost is going to be the fighter.
Right.
I felt like this. I should have known, but I did not know.
No, that was the impression I got the first time I saw it. I was like, oh, he's going to be the one who's fighting.
So when they get into the arena, Green Ghost now starts jumping around the ring. And I realized the second watching that he's the hype man.
Right.
And we have talked on other episodes that I need a hype man in my life. And I want one. And we can discuss, but I want one real bad. Somebody to be like, yeah, Naomi, she's coming into the doctor's office. She's going to get a pap smear. She's doing the whole thing. Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing a good job right now. But like, he's like, everyone knows he's the white guy in the green outfit who's just like hyping up his brother, his maybe brother.
Right. His adoptive brother.
Yeah. And so I think it's so good. But then they pan, they don't pan. They cut to the other fighter who is massive.
Beefy guy. He's got like muscles on top of his muscles.
Right? He's just muscly and gorgeous. Amazing. And I did not write his name down, and I feel like I should have done.
He also has this like mean face on. He's got this like, oh, I'm ready for a fight. I'm ready for a fight.
He looks like a killer.
Yeah. Also, Charlie says, you're going to be okay, Marco. This guy's got 150 pounds on you, because Marco is just like a regular sized guy.
Yeah, yeah. He only looks like, I'm a guesser, but I'm pretty good at it. I couldn't be a carnival worker, but if he weighs more than a buck 40, I'd eat my hat.
She has plenty of hats, by the way.
So many hats. So dude starts hyping up the crowd. Green Ghost starts hyping up the crowd. And then the other fighter gets like super mad and like shoves him, which seems a bit of a part of the show. I'm not mad about it. Like he's doing it, but like, hey, man. And then I realized his costume makes you think that he's the fighter, but then his brother comes out.
And that's when we have fight number one.
Yeah, that's when I realized that this whole movie is hand-to-hand fighting porn. We get so much of it.
And it's well done. It's well executed. Yes. It's really well executed. Yes. I have seen Marvel fight scenes that aren't nearly as coherent as the movie, as the fights in this movie.
It's a choreography. It is a dance of the hands and feet. It is gorgeous in so many ways. And we are terrible at describing it.
Yes. The important thing to know is that while Marco is fighting,
he's the fast guy.
He's the fast guy, but he's also not the heavy. He's not a heavy hitter. So when he gets punched hard.
Hard.
And then you see his eyes glow. A few moves later, fight ends.
Yeah, I will note, and I want you to note, that he does a chokehold on the guy. And that brings him nearly to the ground, or if not to the ground. And then the guy stands up and he hangs on a bar, and then he flips and the whole thing flips. We're terrible at describing fighting scenes. But that chokehold in particular is something that his sister does later on. And I hope I remember enough to talk about it in part 57 of episode of this episode.
Sister's name is Karina.
Yeah, Karina does it later. So, hey, how about we do a cool down with tacos afterward?
Again, Charlie is speaking in Spanish, and then he transitions into English. So you could tell that he's bilingual.
Yeah, he talks to his brother. He says, I've been talking to my doctor. I'm paraphrasing, and please excuse it. He says, I've been having these terrible nightmares. So my doctor is like, eat more salads.
Yeah, it's like they're just like vamping for a little bit. Marco's like, why are you eating that bird food? And he's like, oh, it's because I got nightmares. And they think that if I go ahead and change up my eating habits, it'll be better.
I've eaten so much kale, and that is so much bullshit. So and then because my apocalyptic thinking kicks in all the time, it does not hurt at all when his brother's like, hey, if something happens to me, watch out for our sister.
Right. I was like, I was like, so is Marco going to die? Because this is like his entire dialogue for the last half of this conversation makes me think that he's going to be dead.
And then a dude turns and is like, Moss Ale, por favor. But then Mooney is like looking at them from a distance.
Okay, so this is a character. She's a woman with like sunglasses, but they have these like blue, like sparkly things in the middle of them.
Every time she blinks, it goes like a camera almost. And I want that. I want it. Look, unabashedly so, I want it.
Like the Snapchat spectacles?
I don't want to do much of anything with Snapchat, as my history says, but I do want fancy eyewear that makes me look super important.
Oh, not so much that you need it to be a camera. It just needs to look cool.
Yeah. I want to be threatening at all times.
And the reason why Naomi calls her Mooney is because later on we find out that she's referred to as by Moon Eyes. But when you said, I'm going to call her Mooney, my brain automatically went to fans of Sailor Moon. Me. But also...
Hold a second. Who's your Sailor Moon?
My Sailor Moon?
Which one is your character?
Are you asking me which Sailor Soldier am I going to identify with?
That is terribly accurate.
It's the green one.
Who's the green one?
It's Jupiter. She's the one with the brown hair and a ponytail.
Okay. Anyways. I only ever had to watch that at Michelle's house. Wait. So do you want to assign Jen and me characters?
No.
You have to now that we're talking about Mooney.
No. Well, because it... No.
Which ones are the gay ones?
That would be Uranus and Neptune.
Well, I'm obviously Uranus and Jen is Neptune.
I mean, I would say that's accurate.
Really?
Well,
You don't know. You don't know. She's the expert.
Neptune is really good with like music. She's like really like she plays the violin and the cello. Like at one point you see this artwork of her playing the cello and I was like, yes. But Uranus is tall, blonde. Presents as kind of boyish.
I'm a little masculine.
I'm just saying, like...
I'm a little femme.
And, like, Neptune is super femme. So...
I love that. Okay, yeah. We'll start buying merch as soon as possible.
But it wasn't just Sailor Moon fans. It was also the cult called Moonies. There's a cult called... Yeah.
Oh, you can bleep that, Jen. Who are the Moonies?
I'm not going to get into it because I don't want this podcast to go on for years.
Okay, let's go on then. please feel free to Google that and post it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Okay, but then we go to a phone call with I'm not your friend guy, I'm your bank guy.
Before we get to that phone call, we find that Mooney follows Charlie back home. And when she looks at him, he's glowing green. And then he goes to the bathroom?
Yeah, no, she has like night vision or like... something.
She's got like it's superpower vision. She can tell someone's superpower.
What?
I don't know.
I thought she just had like night vision. She could see in the dark.
No, because we see later on that she's looking at him and he's got that green thing going on. I'm pretty sure she can see these people's auras.
Okay, that's fine. I agree with you. I guess so. But Taka's nightmares, Mooney, not friend guy, bank guy. Bankruptcy.
Phone call is to Charlie. He's at apparently his work, which is a car dealership. Anyways, and he goes ahead and gets this phone call, and the guy's been like, look, the board's taking you out, man. I'm gonna be by to look at your projections and things aren't looking good.
So then he calls a meeting and he's like, we had it sales up, blah blah blah. He might as well beat his chest. It's super dumb. I'm sorry. I get it. I've listened to NPR documentaries about how car salesmanships work, and the math is super hard. And I'm sorry if this guy comes back and calls me up about it, but like the math is hard at the very least. So the fact that he's coming to these guys and being like, we need to make this work, there's multiple levels that us as laymen do not know, right? So he's like, we got to make this work. And they're like, you said we're a family and we're trying very hard, but you're not doing the advertising we need. And there's just like so many layers that I feel like part of me thinks that I'm really glad that he included his friends from his own workplace in the movie. Like, I like it. You know, I feel like these are his guys. And in fact, that might be one of my questions when we actually get to talk to him. Like, are these your actual guys? And if he says no, I would be absolutely shocked, because it definitely felt like these are his guys. And so he, I'm sure you're surprised, has a panic attack. he walks out and he's hearing the words of these people echoed in his brain, because he's always felt not good enough. He's always felt like he can't succeed. And he ends up like walking down this weird corridor, unfamiliar, right?
It's like looks like it's a corridor in like a maintenance area.
Yeah. And then he ends up outside, and I thought maybe he'd just blow up, but he ends up kicking a trash can, which just seems like more work for someone else later.
Might even be work for him.
I was thinking, dude, pick up your shit, but it's not. It feels like he never does it, you know? I would take that as a deleted scene, by the way, him picking up his own garbage. But then he kicks it, and his sister shows up, and she says, "Still throwing tantrums, I see. You need to go see Nana."
Right. And we don't really get much more into it other than, you know, he needs to go see Nana. There's mm-hmm. some stuff going on. And then fight scene number two.
I call this, let's beat up some bystanders.
Yeah, we got like some car salesmen coming in, and one guy gets punched into a pickup truck, and then
she flips up the girl who's beating him, I think it's Mooney,
yeah,
flips up the tailgate, and I think it's a beautiful detail.
It is.
Okay, so he's like, hey, you shouldn't do that. He gets hit into a car, and my question is this, Lydia, and I think you're interested too. Is that the only actual car that gets damaged? He smashes the windshield, and then you see it as a secondary cut. So you see him on the windshield and it's cracked, and he slides down. Is that his blood? We don't know.
It's just it looks like a dent in the car.
Yeah, we don't know. Is that the only car that gets damaged in this movie?
It's going to be a question that I have for the guy.
And I'm super excited to find out. And it's a fight sequence, and you know we're going to cover it badly. Did you appreciate the teenager guy who goes after the sister chick with the hair in his eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I got hair in my eyes, but I'm still going to beat you.
Right.
I wanted him to die so bad.
He comes back later, and maybe Danny Trejo kills him, but I think they just get knocked out.
Does Danny Trejo end up in this scene?
Not in this scene, but later on in the film, okay. There's a fight between two of them.
But we also have a guy with a bucket.
Okay, so the sister's getting fought with, Charlie's getting fought with, and these are just too tough for them to handle. So when she gets surrounded, she like calls up some magic blue powers from her face and puts it into the guy. That was so descriptive, Lydia. And she puts it into the a guy holding a bucket, and he like starts like
he's like
firing
a maintenance
out.
Guy. We never see him again.
I get the feeling like she is she's controlling him and having her energy flow through him,
yeah,
out of the bucket.
There's a whole battery thing later on, and we can super address it later on because we have like 18 pages of notes to go through. But she like shoos it through him, and they all get scared and run away.
He does do the aiming though. Like,
who does?
He's the guy with the bucket.
Yeah. And I'm super down because he's magical for just a second. And which of you do not want to be magical for just a second?
Agreed.
The problem is for just that second, I'd be like, wait, what's happening?
And your bucket shoots the hole in the donut from The Simpsons.
Right. Well, and like, there, you do see this like onslaught of all of the workers coming out. And I didn't know if they were also being controlled.
I don't think they were.
They were just like, get out of our lot.
Go away. So we cut straight to a flashback where Nana.
Scene change after the fight. Yeah. They go back home, and it's Marco, Karina.
Yeah.
Marco, Karina, Charlie, Nana. And
no, I think they do flashback before they show up at the house.
Really?
I mean, fight me on it, but they go to the Mi Casa Es Su Casa, and then he goes, I knew you were hiding something from me all this time.
Right. And then that's when we have the flashback.
Not the flashback. Then Nana is like, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
And then we go to
it's backstory.
Yeah. It's not a flashback. It's a Stargate thing. It's called Mayan Stargate in my notes. Space babies.
I see what. Okay, I think I know what's going on. Charlie. So after the fight, we cut to a flashback from Charlie mm-hmm. with his dad, or not.
I don't think it's the stepmom dad part yet.
Right.
It's just him running to the door and he's like, Nana, Nana, Nana.
Right.
And she lets him in and she's like, hey, you're part of the family. We accept you. And right. I don't know if this is the part where.
I think this is where she gets the phone call where she's like, your dad and your stepmom have to figure some stuff out. And so you're going to stay with us for a while.
Mi casa es su casa.
Yeah.
And then does the little girl be like, why don't you invite all the gringos into the household?
Yeah, essentially.
I like her so much.
and then we see them as adults in the house. And that's when my notes go. Mayan alien gods. Also, Legend of Zelda powers?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are like simpatico on this because y'all are gamers and I am not. I call this Mayan Stargate space babies.
Yeah.
What are the Triforce powers again? Wisdom, strength?
It's wisdom, power, and courage.
Oh, yeah.
So wisdom is specifically blue, power is red, and courage is green. And Link is essentially green. Courage guy. So like this guy is very much like Link from Legend of Zelda.
Also, After Effects much?
Doubt, by the way. I feel like this is another part where all of the CGI is like all the way used. Like, okay, this came out in 2020. Okay. But like, even still, like the CGI is on point. I love the CGI in this film. It's great for storytelling. The intro with all the Marvel-y type, like, floating around the things is really good.
I would like to know if it's two different studios for the effects, like, on their eyes and the soul-sucking and that kind of thing, versus the...
Oh, like, the actual whole CGI portions that are, like, they're animated and separated from the...
Yeah.
From the live action, as opposed to like they do little animations, like when she sucks the soul out of the guy earlier, and there's like a little red puff. Is that different from when they do like all of their names floating around the logo?
There's a special word for that kind of effect. Composite effect is when it's both, when it's the film and the special effects together.
You should write that down. We're going to talk to that guy in a few days.
So. The important thing to know about this this backstory is that aliens came down to give humanity special gifts, but they were specifically given to three people to kind of like disperse them among, or to use them to guard humanity. One of them, who is Nana's sister, the three people are Nana, her brother, and her sister wanted more power, and so she goes ahead and tries to take it for herself, and the gods like refuse, and in vengeance she's like, I'm gonna destroy you all. And part of the backstory is that she takes the green stone for herself so she can destroy the gods, but she's also pregnant and she's gonna give birth to someone who is prophesied to destroy the gods and all of Earth and everything. And then she gets sealed away because her siblings couldn't kill her, and so they steal her away, already still pregnant, and she's just there until an explorer finds her and unearths her. And this is the moment where we were like, oh, so was she talking to the tomb? Was that the tomb? But I don't think so, because of how it kind of plays out later on.
Would you like to hear my 6-sentence interpretation of everything you just said? Mayan Stargate space babies. I've already said that. Three siblings, trio of light. Power corrupts. Chick wants to become a god. Stealing stones. Force of chaos. She was pregnant. Apocalypse baby. Catacombs of long lost Aztec empire. It's all about the altar, because we find out that she's already given birth and the dude is already out and we're just looking for the place to stab Nana.
I don't know if we want to talk about this yet. Drake, the character who is the embodiment of the Mayan apocalypse, as they say, he's like, he embodies everything about the apocalypse. That actor who plays Drake is Marcos Aurora, and he has quite a prolific movie history. So he's been in John Wick Chapter 4, Machete Kills, also Alita Battle Angel, and Marvel's The Defenders, From Dusk Till Dawn, the movie. So he's been doing this for quite some time. So just thought I'd mention he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention about this backstory is that the way that the CGI does it is a lot of the scenes that we see are just kind of like models of people or objects, and the figures are in stone, kind of like they're being inscribed on the pyramid.
It makes me okay. It does smack strongly of Aztec It smacks strongly of the Aztec imagery that we have been exposed to, but it also makes me feel of the stone soldiers of China.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much like walking almost around a museum piece. I think it's very beautiful, really. It feels very authentic when they cut to the Aztec calendar like five other times that we're not going to actually notice when mm-hmm. we get into the super actiony parts. Like, it's gorgeous because you're given this, it feels very historic, very ancient feeling. And I think it lends almost a headiness to the history, even though it's like a very modern way of looking at it. Like, you get this depth that they're trying to tell as storytellers. I'm not mad about it. Points for sending all the money to CGI. Hey, you want to know what we should do now?
Fight scene?
Yeah, let's call it It's Time. The door busts open, and this is what I call everybody in the pool.
Okay, the way that the guy comes through the house, he just busts down the door and goes, ah! And I'm like, maybe that's how I should enter rooms from now on.
100% super approve.
And so the fight scene goes between, let's see, we got the floppy haired teen guy.
Uh-huh.
We got a bald fighter guy.
Yeah.
We got Mooney.
Uh-huh.
And we got Drake. He's the apocalypse guy.
He enters later, but yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, everybody's kind of, like, Mooney goes up against Charlie and he's defending.
And Nana, right?
And Nana.
He fights her with a pan. And although this is the thing, though, and our terrible part about describing fighting scenes, it flips back and forth very fast. But I will say that my favorite part, obviously, is that he tries to fight her with a pan and she kicks it out of his hand. And then they fight around the island of Nana's kitchen and he throws tortillas at her face. And she fights. She like out of the way. And then he throws like a carrot and some, like, I assume green beans. And eventually, like, he kind of backs away a little bit. Like, he gets in front of her and Nana, and then he becomes incapacitated. But then we watch the other people fighting, which is what I probably should have focused on.
Right. The important thing about this fight that we should really be communicating is, again, very, very well executed, beautifully choreographed, but all of Nana's grandchildren are essentially getting destroyed. And so she, like, pulls her energy together mm-hmm. and fires it out in these, like, blasts of
like
it reminds
blue energy.
Right. But they're like these balls of energy. And I think what happens, because they don't get knocked out, we don't see
right,
them knocked
right,
out.
Right, right.
And later on, you hear, you can see how, like, people are teleported away. I think when her energy is going out, she's teleporting them all away.
Yeah, I call it teleporting assholes.
For me, I was like, that's a pretty nice superpower. You can just teleport anybody that you don't want around you.
Yeah, but now that brother has been beaten up by Apocalypse Boy, we should drive to the safe house, which I might, and you may call me ignorant, I call Wakanda, because there's a force field that shall protect us, and it doesn't work well. Because there's a driving sequence, dude looks beat the hell up, right?
Right.
But then also, they walk into a dojo, and I'm like, okay, so you know how I keep an eye out for a little bit of appropriation in what we do? I was like, this looks a little Asian for some Latinx people and a white guy.
But I think it does make sense, because it looks like you see a lot of Chinese decorations.
Uh-huh.
And later on, they do have Kung Fu Master come in. And so for me, it's like this kind of a marriage of, you know, Mexican
it, in
and
context,
Chinese.
In context, it makes perfect sense. And right. I bet Jen has a thing to say.
Oh, I was just going to say the Kung Fu master's name is Master Hung. He's played by Andy Chang.
Nice.
And he's been in Rush Hour 2, Shang-Chi, Shanghai Noon, first Rush Hour, Hawaii Five-O, the movie, quite a bit.
Okay, so...
Oh my gosh, he's in Master of Disguise. Sorry, I just...
We have to do Master of Disguise. Do you understand me?
Turtle.
He looks into a suit of armor that is very Asian inspired, and you get the feeling he wants to wear that suit.
Right. It feels to me like the suit is kind of a parallel with his suit, the Green Ghost suit.
Yeah.
But I wish it kind of had a little bit more play than just being on display. But maybe they got it on loan and they couldn't actually wear it.
Okay. How do you feel about Nana's boyfriend?
I mean, I don't hate him.
Me neither.
I think he's very affectionate. And she's just like, not in front of my kids.
That's very cute. Okay. But then, okay. I don't know the context, but my note says cow dung foreshadowing.
Oh, it's because the camera looks at his feet and Nana's boyfriend says, are you going to walk around outside in those?
Because he has like sandals on.
Right.
How he changed out of his black sneakers from the opening scene. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it feels like they're driving all night. Uh-huh. So it feels like he woke up after they got to the safe house and they're, you know, it's the next morning and he's just walking around with his sandals on.
So Nana walks in and she says, you remember that dream you had as a kid?
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I have that all the time. And she goes, it wasn't a dream.
And she tells him that on all of the nights that he could have woken up, it was this one night, and it was the night that her sister was coming to take the green stone. And what is it? Nana gets knocked out, and Charlie defends
it. Wait, before we go there, because that's very important. It's very important, and we can slam through it super quick. But that white kid walking down the stairs, pretending to be asleep, he looks like this. You can describe it.
It's... Okay, he's very much, it's very exaggerated in his walking.
It's a dead fish walking.
He's flipping his head back and forth, and he pretends to be asleep so hard. Like, I've wandered to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I'm a middle-aged woman. But I've never waggled my head back and forth down two flights of stairs. And then I've never walked in on my aunt and my mom fighting it out for the future of the universe. Okay, admittedly. But
he does something really, he does like stand up and defend his Nana from her evil sister.
I wish I knew what he said. He's like, don't hurt my grandma.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she portals her.
So the aunt hits Charlie and then Nana portals the aunt. And that's what makes me think of like the last time when we actually see those blue balls hitting everybody. Mm-hmm. They're getting portaled away. And then Nana heals him with the green gem.
Yeah. And that's what makes him, and no spoilers, the Green Warrior. There is a moment where she turns into a weird owl witch, which is super prevalent in Latinx culture, that a baby stealing witch is portrayed as an owl. And I will admit my ignorance on this, but it is in fact a whole thing.
All right, so after the whole like backstory with Charlie and, you know, how he got connected to the green stone, Nana tells Charlie that because of the fact that one, her sister found a Stargate, and if she gets kidnapped, then they'll be able to transfer all of the power to Drake. And it goes into the CGI scene that transitions to Drake. And he's just like sitting there and being like, who's the gringo? And she's like, you don't have to worry about him. We just need to get the stone and we need to get my sister. Then we transition into the scene with the masters getting off the airplane. Am I right?
No, I don't think you're wrong. It's just my notes are like, the CGI kicks a bit of... And then it goes, who's the gringo? Stick to the plan. Oh, I think that's the bad guys talking.
Right.
And then it's time to start training, says the beaten guy. So that's the brother.
Oh, yeah. So it does go back to the dojo.
And then it says, those cars, the soundtrack, let's bring in the big boys. What's with that green car? Shouldn't the green car have Danny in it? But it's not. It's the Asian guy. Sorry if that sounds bigoted, but I don't mean nothing by it.
That's Master Han.
Okay. Yeah, but he's not the green guy.
Right.
Danny is, and he's on a motorcycle. So the experts go kung fu, martial arts, and then Drunkle.
Yeah. So,
hey, welcome Drunkle.
Yeah, we have Master Hung is the expert in kung fu. Master Kane is he was trained by Mayan and Aztec shaman, and he is proficient in modern martial arts.
And then Danny Trejo
is drunk uncle, as we call him.
He was trained in drunken fighting,
but he only learned the drunk part.
And I feel him.
Yeah.
So hard. And that's why I call him Drunkle the rest of the time. Who's our protagonist's name? You know him bad.
Charlie Clark.
Charlie is told specifically he will teach you the things that save your life.
And he's going to be attached to the hip. The character's name is Master Jin because he's always drunk and we got to connect him to hard liquor. But
okay, that's hilarious. Yeah. So we cut to, he makes Charlie dig a hole.
Yes.
Do you want to hear this? And we can get through it super fast with mine. He makes Charlie dig a hole and with a shovel. And then he makes him fill the wheelbarrow, no shovel, by magic, because Danny has the shovel and then walks away with it. And then he says, take the wheelbarrow to the lake with a flat tire, which is hilarious. And then as he's walking with this broken wheelbarrow, there's a horse behind him for no good reason. We never see the horse again. I just like that there's a horse for no good reason. And then he says, cross the lake. But he's in like those paddle wheel boats. And then he goes into the lake with a wheelbarrow and he's like, it's impossible. And he says, I didn't say anything about a wheelbarrow to go across the lake, you dumbass.
Yeah.
And then he casts his line from the paddle boat. And I have gone fishing a few times and I cannot cast a line. So the fact that Danny Trejo was like, I was like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. End of sequence.
Right. I think the important thing that Danny Trejo says is, don't make it harder for yourself. I never said anything about taking the wheelbarrow across the lake.
Yeah. And then he has to go into Danny's room because attached to the hip. And I don't know what that hand signal means.
Did we have an impossible quote? It's impossible. Did we discuss that? And I missed it. I'm sorry.
No, we didn't discuss it at all.
Did it already happen?
Yeah, it happened when he was. Charlie takes the wheelbarrow into the lake and he's like, oh, it's impossible. And that's when Drunkle says, impossible is a big word used by small men.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We could put that on a t-shirt when we get big enough to have t-shirts.
Right.
Then it's time for a sleepover at Drunkle's house. And then, okay, so he's like, and he's shoving, Carl.
Charlie.
Thank you. Charlie's shoving stuff off of a bed and he's like, how am I supposed to sleep here? And they have like your room is full of, and he says it in like Coma City say, and he says, crap. And he's like, no. And then he sits down at the pump organ, which is one we have in storage and we can't get rid of. And I don't know what to do about it. And look, applauders, if you need a weird pump organ, we got one for you. Please send us a message at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com.
P.S. We will not be shipping this.
No, just come and get it in Washington State between Seattle and Tacoma. Okay.
And then he goes.
He goes to play on the organ.
Yeah.
Right. And he goes. And then he takes it. I don't know if he takes a drink before or after, but he falls perfectly back. And I love it. I love it. It's so stupid.
Yeah. And then the next morning, Charlie is talking with Karina about, like, how is he supposed to unleash all this power that he supposedly has?
She explains the whole rest of the plot. So, applauders, if you're not into spoilers, and I don't know why you're here if you're not, she's like, hey, we need to share power. We need to redirect that power. And we are all batteries. Some of us are double A. Some of us are fancy Duracells. Some of us are
the sun.
Yeah. And there's, oh, and she goes, God, he goes, what kind of battery do I got?
Or no, he's like, how big do you think my battery is?
And I was like,
gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
These are childhood friends.
These are supposed to be siblings.
I will say, for this movie, and you know how I feel about it, there's no romantic arc in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And yay.
Yeah.
But then...
Oh, before we continue, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
My battery is a potato.
You can make my watch go. My battery is... I'm a 9-volt, but you got to put your tongue on me to see if I work.
Jen, what kind of a battery are you?
I'm a lemon.
Why are you guys
There's
so
juice
fishy?
In me because I'm so acidic.
Why are you guys both beautiful vegetation and I'm like something you just...
Do you want to change yours?
No, I don't have a better answer. That's the one I came up with.
Hey, applauders, tell us what kind of batteries you are.
Yeah, on Facebook, on Twitter, just get in there. Yeah. Tell us what kind of battery you are.
I'm a double D.
By the lake, sister talk. She really explains the whole thing. She says, share power, redirection, battery metaphor, battery joke does not land well. And then their brother sticks his head out the car and is like, the masters are ready.
Right. Because now we get into a fight montage that lasts for probably close to 5 minutes. But there are moments in it that shine really well. Like it's Master Hung with Charlie. And he's kind of like teaching him he's like seeing where he's at fight wise. And then you see him teach him some of the basics. And
but before it goes into that, Danny Trejo turns not to his sister, but to the dummy he's leaning on because he's a drunk piece of shit. And he goes, it's that kung fu.
And throughout the montage, we see Charlie's interaction with Master Hong. So like the things that really stick out to me are you think that the montage is over because Charlie's coming out and he's like washing his hair and everything. And Master Hong is like, I'm going to get you. And then he gets him. And he's always speaking in Chinese, but there's no subtitles, but you can kind of still get the feel of what he's trying to communicate, even though you don't know the exact words.
Mm-hmm.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a dodgeball.
Okay, that's beautiful. But I think the scene that Lydia might be talking about, and feel free to correct me, is that he comes out of the shower with a towel, and my heart went, oh, a towel, because I'm a huge Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan, and then he gets defeated by a towel like super quick. I was like, why didn't you hold on to your towel? That's elementary. Why didn't you just hold on to your towel?
Right. And then later on, Charlie is meditating outside, and Master Hong is like, you know, you can tell he was in the tree, and then he like...
His head ducks down, like while dude is meditating.
He's like hanging from the tree upside down.
And then he waits for a whole beat for him to open his eyes, and he's like, oh no. And then he just gets his thrown to the ground.
Yeah, this Charlie gets kicked in the...
But also, remember, he grabbed a stick.
Yeah. Charlie grabbed a big, thick stick. But then the master, like, did this, like,
a switch type stick. And he got him to break his big stick and then was like, like, really beat his.
What's interesting about the montage is that it eventually like transitions over to Drake, and Drake is like meditating,
mm-hmm.
and he goes ahead and he's like thinking, he's like meditating on his fighting and everything.
Yes.
And that's when we transition to like purple smoke and then ladies coming in.
Yeah. Okay. Did it not remind you of Dracula and his little vampire ladies?
Yeah. I was like, what are these creepy spirit ladies? And then later we find out that they're the oracles.
I guess, but like, they're like, oh, we've detected the emerald. It's not in the city. It's outside of the city. It's in, by water. And I'm like, be more direct, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be, like, I got Siri at this point, who I've changed the voice of to whom I call Helmsy, and he's like, oi, yo. The Dairy Queen you're seeking is like out on McTeal. He can't say McTeal at all. But like, he's like, hey, if you take McTeal away, you could get, yeah, sorry, yo.
So he basically sounds like Russell Brand?
I think Russell Brand would take the time to learn indigenous names of my area.
Okay, valid.
But he tries. Australian.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Helmsworth. It's a Helmsy.
That's what we call him, Helmsy, but it's not an actual Helmsworth. I have not subscribed to a celebrity person. Mental training, Dracula ladies. Why don't we go to the lakeside to go have a talk?
Who's the one who has the talk with him?
Why the lakeside? Let's go have a talk. Is it the sister? But it's before any betrayal. It's just, let's go have a talk.
Because next part in my notes was,
rising up into the streets.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. It goes back into the fight montage. And that's when we have the ramp up of the Spanish version of Eye of the Tiger.
And that's all we're allowed to make fun of before the lawyers call us.
But they use the Spanish Eye of the Tiger because I think it probably got them around a lot of, like...
I don't know. I think they still had to pay royalties.
Put it on our list of things to ask our bonus episode.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Writing it down right now.
But it's another montage. Mm-hmm. Let's learn how to fight. Let us learn how to bite. Let us learn how to shake it in our teeth. And that's about it.
But then I think it goes to the bad guys.
Yeah, it's the mother.
Yeah, she like struts into the office. She puts her feet up. She grabs some booze and she's like, oh, business must be bad because you're buying the cheap stuff.
You gotta admit, her gams and those white stilettos are amazing.
Yeah. Again, the costuming's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when Drake also is like, I found out where to find them. And she's like, let's go send Moon Eyes because she has the ability to deactivate the force field. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. So Mooney walks past the paper screens of the oddly Asian, Mexican.
After getting through the force field?
Yeah, yeah. She, with her eyeball glasses deal. P.S. Can I say, I want to see what her face looks like without the glasses.
You can on IMDb.
No, not like her actress face. I'm sure they're beautiful. But her character face, if you took them off, would they be like hollow sockets or would they be like actual moons? Like,
oh, hollow sockets with like just glowing orbs inside.
What's that weird? Not monkey, but the thing with like the big eyes. You know what I'm talking about? Like an eye?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What if she looked like an eye if she didn't have glasses on?
I mean, I was thinking like hollowed out eyes, and where her eyes are, it's just these small glowing blue orbs.
I'm super into it.
It would be creepy.
I want to see her like super creepy.
Yeah.
Or button eyes like Coraline. Of course, I will make any movie into Coraline if I can.
Jen, you should do the button for the creepy sound. So raise up the volume and then it's the blue one, I think. I think so.
God bless new tech. Okay, that is funny as hell. Okay, so the grandma is there and she's sad because he buys bad booze. And then her legs, admittedly.
Right.
Gorgeous.
Right.
A tattoo that I kind of was like, could I get that to you? And I was like, stop trying to bet every movie's tattoos on your body. And then they send Mooney for the stone.
Right.
He's the only one who sees her walk past his paper window.
Charlie's the only one who sees her walk past the paper window and he tries to wake up Drunkle.
Which makes it stupid later because like they're like, you didn't wake anybody up. He tried waking up
the drunk guy. Maybe go wake up your competent brother and sister.
Okay, or maybe yell or something. Yeah. I don't know. Like be like, all on alert. Let's be all on alert. Like I see a crazy Mooney.
Yeah.
Then it also brings in, where's the family pact or whatever? It makes me mad. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. She makes it away with the stone.
Right.
Because she like taps him on the shoulder and then dodges out of the way.
Before that, we have our fourth fight scene where she gets the stone. He confronts her. He's trying to be big man on campus, trying to prove himself, trying to get this like out of him.
You know what he proved?
Nothing.
No. He proved? Yep.
Thank you for joining us for our review of 2021's Green Ghost and the Masters of the Stone Applotter. We hope you'll join us for the conclusion of our review next week, as well as a special interview with creator Charlie Clark the following week, July 26th. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.